The popularity of big data is helping agencies get more money for information technology. IT spending across the federal government rising the past 2 years. A third of the overall spending at the Homeland Security Department is going to IT infrastructure. Sean McCarthy's research director for IDC Government Insights, my guest on Industry Chatter today. And Sean, you are releasing a perspective on Homeland Security's IT spending. If there are two, three major trends that you see as you examine and where they're going, what would they be, Sean?
Oh, sure. Thanks, Francis. I would say the number one right now is one that you already mentioned, and that is big data. And what that means is you're talking about, you know, terabytes approaching petabytes of data that are collected, types of data that's too big for normal, you know, data analysis tools that most of us are used to using, you know, to look at. And you need specialized tools that are looking across, you know, very large data sets capable of doing data drilling, et cetera. So as most people know, the you know, Department of Homeland Security has worked to develop some fusion centers out there, and they are pulling in data from multiple resources, sometimes looking for what's known as entity analytics. You simply look for common information across the data that will help you figure out who knows who and, you know, where somebody who is wanted by the police might be based on, you know, the connections and things like that. So that's number one. Number two is a lot of the information that's being spit out, the content, the readable format of that, is now being developed for mobile devices. There's probably nobody that has more people in the field than police departments, you know, fire, emergency, all the people that ultimately may have some sort of contact with DHS and have a need for both upstream and downstream data from them. So developing for mobile is a huge part of that, being able to, you know, see what they need, interact the way they need. In some cases, that may mean special applications that run on mobile devices, that sort of thing. So, and then, you know, kind of in the background, they have some other things going on at Department of Homeland Security. I mean, they've had for a while what's known as the National Suspicious Activity Reporting Initiative. That's being expanded a little bit to make it easier for people to say, hey, I saw something. Here's how I want to notify DHS, et cetera. So those are some of the things that are kind of happening that are helping to drive growth and IT spending and just IT in general at the Department of Homeland Security.
Sean, you write about the difference between addressable markets and non-addressable markets. Define those for me, please.
Well, addressable is what a vendor can sell into. So if you sell hardware, software, IT services, you go after the addressable. The non-addressable is stuff that is being spent in other ways at the government agency. Could be staff salaries. Could be, you know, energy consumption to keep the lights on, space, equipment rental, the cost of janitors, things like that. Sometimes things like that show up in an IT budget, and it can be a mistake for a vendor to say, hey, look at all this money they're spending, because not all of it's being spent on pure IT products.
You find something here in this report that I think is particularly interesting. This says, on average, most agencies spend 75% approximately of their IT dollars operating and maintaining existing systems. The other 25% spent on installing or developing new systems or modernizing existing systems. But DHS spends 16.4% of its annual $6 billion IT budget on new systems and modernization, significantly below the federal government average. The department spends 83.6% of its IT budget on operation and maintenance of existing systems. Were you able to quantify why that is, why the dollars are going in the direction that they're going?
Well, I delved into it a little bit, and I found two big reasons, one good, one not so good. And let's start with, you know, what's good. When DHS launched 10, 11 years ago, they had to integrate a lot of data from a lot of different places and get a lot of systems to talk to each other that didn't want to talk to each other. So what happened was a lot of modernization went into DHS equipment in recent years, more so than what you would have seen at other agencies. So now that spending on new has plateaued. The newer has become a little bit older, but not necessarily old enough to replace yet. So some of those, you know, things that were considered new 3-4 years ago have kind of shifted to legacy systems, but they're not so old that they're going to require a brand new investment immediately. That's part of the story. That's not a bad thing. You know, the upgrade happened already in some circumstances. But in the other, some of those databases that they did get to talk to each other, sometimes were older systems. There are, you know, throughout the whole domain there, you've got some older mainframes, you've got some older client server systems, et cetera, that may be a little more difficult to move to a standardized enterprise architecture to kind of merge them the way they'd like to. So in that case, since, you know, they had to cobble together many different systems to get them to talk, sometimes it's going to be a little bit more difficult to start unplugging them and replacing them wholesale. So that's the other part of that thing right now. And so I do expect to see a little more go into modernization, but probably not 2015, probably 2016 and beyond.
Yeah, that's actually kind of where I wanted to go next, Sean, is do we have a sense from the outside looking in at what the opportunities will be for companies that want to work with DHS on either upgrading or replacing legacy systems?
Well, right now what I've seen is a lot of need for quick hits and things that can be hosted in the cloud. When I say quick hits, sometimes you have a number of divergent data sources that maybe are new. Maybe they're found in different places because, you know, some local jurisdiction collected data that you didn't know existed, et cetera. And how do you get that up and running? Well, you know, you can always put something together in a quick database, build a rapid system around that, maybe Ruby on Rails or something like that, and get it up and working and host it in the cloud and just offer it as a service to the other places within DHS that may need that. So there is an opportunity in cloud. Right now, DHS is a little bit behind what other agencies are investing in cloud, and we do expect to see that change. You know, most agencies are up around 6% or so on cloud. Depends. It varies wildly, but that's kind of an average across the whole all of government. And we're seeing, you know, just 1 or 2% in DHS. So I do think that's going to be a future opportunity. But obviously the things have to be, you know, meet certain security standards just to be considered by DHS.
Is the FedRAMP process, do you think, going to make that a lot easier when there is standardization and agencies, not just DHS, will be able to choose cloud solutions kind of off the menu?
I think it will be, yes. And it's already gone through most of the, you know, processes or all of the processes that they officially need, you know, FIPS compliance, FISMA compliance. So what you have there is good, but a lot of agencies are saying, look, we also want real-time monitoring. We also want real-time analysis of what's going on, and that has to be part of it, not just that it's compliant with FISMA.
Richard Spires and his team, and now Margie Graves and Luke McCormick, the team at DHS, have been leaders on the continuous diagnostics and mitigation efforts across government, and they've been on this program on occasion talking about each of those issues. Another issue that you mentioned, we talked about a little bit at the beginning, Sean, and that is big data. And you talked about some of the reasons why big data is a logical place for DHS to be very heavily engaged. What does that say, though, their big data engagement, about opportunities and about where they can, what kind of needs vendors could try to anticipate through DHS in the next couple of years?
Well, there's always the, you know, what do you do with the big data? And data visualization is huge. Data analytics and entity analytics are huge. So you see people who do, you know, the business analysis or the data analysis to really delve in there and look for patterns. And the patterns could be anything from chatter in, you know, picked up from social media sites. It could be addresses that come from credit cards and, you know, looking to see where, you know, does this address have anything also to do with this phone number that we think is suspicious? So being able to dig the fingers really deep into that, draw parallels between sets of data, and especially being able to visualize them and in some cases maybe even map them, that can be huge. Because while Department of Homeland Security is very concerned with obviously keeping the homeland secure, they interact with local police departments, emergency departments all across the nation, and there's other types of data that can be used to just, you know, map at that local level and shared nationally to say, you know, crime's going up here, things like that, murder rates have gone up, and by the way, there may be a national security element that can be discovered in these patterns.
You write, with an annual investment of nearly $2.2 billion, IT infrastructure maintenance as a category is the department's top investment area. The next highest investment area at over $743 million is IT solutions focused on the category of border and transportation security. Those are the two big hitters. We go from $2.2 billion down to $743 million in second place. Are the next items behind that progressively smaller on the same scale?
They are, yes. The top category, I always take with a grain of salt, and that's called IT infrastructure maintenance. Sometimes that becomes the catch-all area when agencies don't know what else to call something that they're doing on their systems as well. It's IT infrastructure maintenance. So sometimes you have to say, okay, that's true. I would like to see that split out even more. I've asked for that. It's difficult to make that happen sometimes. But then when you get down into the next ones, you see some things that are very specific to DHS, border and transportation security, intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance. That represents about 9.8% of their IT spending. Threat and vulnerability management. So, yes, they all, you know, are getting the funding that they need in order to address them. But I would love to see this broken out into 100 different categories so IT vendors can really understand where the money's going and say, hey, I've got a solution that might help you in there.
John McCarthy's research director at IDC Government Insights, and he is writing about the IT spending at the Homeland Security Department. My guest on Industry Chatter today. We'll continue our conversation in a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Industry Chatter continues with Sean McCarthy, Research Director at IDC Government Insights. His latest work is called Perspective, Department of Homeland Security, a detailed look at IT spending, key contracts and trends. And you can find a link to it later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Sean, you write the top DHS IT contractor for fiscal 2013 was CSC, contracts totaling $80.8 million. Many of those individual agreements are focused on CSC providing emergency priority telecommunications services and general cybersecurity services. And that seems to me to be a pretty big pie to draw from, because I imagine that just because they're the prime doesn't mean they're doing all the work among that $80.8 million.
Well, that's true. Most of the big systems integrators work with a variety of subcontractors. And interestingly enough, across government over the past 10 years, the amount that's spent on IT, quote, IT services has gone up considerably and now represents about two-thirds of IT spending. And in reality, that's because government is looking a little bit more towards the turnkey solution rather than walking around and saying, oh, I need to replace this server today and, you know, that PC tomorrow and, you know, this router. Get somebody in there who can manage all of that. So vendors who want to sell to the federal government, right now it's just as important to be working with those big systems integrators, you know, the CSEs, the IBMs to a certain example, the Lockheeds, Boeings, Northrops, saying, you know, that is part of your sales channel now, because sometimes these guys get a big contract to do everything. And if you want to be part of that everything, you've got to sell to them too.
The appropriate term, I guess, isn't frenemies, because these companies don't fight each other, you know, tooth and nail. But I guess it's frumpeditors or something like that, where you're combining friends and competitors together, because that's more the concept that I keep hearing from the marketplace, Sean.
That is very true, and you hear that frenemies all the time. But it's not all that new. I mean, back in the Internet era, when I was, you know, working for Internet companies, it wasn't unusual to see us write, you know, temporary agreements with people who we were, you know, very much in competition with, because it gave it benefited both of us for the next year or two. So, you know, smaller vendors should certainly be working with the larger vendors. Larger vendors, you know, don't say that you'll never work with other systems integrators, because sometimes they can bring something to the table and offer it cheaper than you can build it in-house. And it's just one more supplier that you go to get the work done that you need to get done.
You've got a couple of tables in this work, Sean, and tables obviously don't play real well on the radio, but I want to point a couple of them out. IT vendors, which ones are the top contract winners? I mentioned CSC for both IT and telecom solutions. Which specific IT solutions are the biggest dollar targets inside the agency? How the money's spent across old and new IT? What would you like people to learn from the various tables that you have throughout this work, Sean?
Well, people always ask us who the top vendors are, and so just, you know, reading off the top three, you mentioned CSC, Science Applications International Corp, SAIC, has been, obviously, they've gone through their own, you know, restructuring recently, but, you know, up through the beginning of this year, they were the second biggest contractor at DHS. IBM is third. And, you know, there's other ones that you'll see in there, too, that you're used to. General Dynamics, a couple surprises, you know, here and there in there. But everybody, in order to even, you know, get on that list, you had to be making at least $16 million for fiscal year 2013. And at the top, you know, CSC is making over $112 million. Other tables, though, it's important to take a look at what the individual programs are within the DHS. Right now, the Customs and Border Patrol is the number one big bucket for IT spending. Fiscal year 2014, this year, they're expected to do about $468.7 million. And then another one, the only other one that's over 400 is the National Cybersecurity and Protection System, which is part of the National Protections and Program Directive right now. And then TSA, it comes in third, actually kind of a distant third at $232 million, and that's their own IT program, the infrastructure behind TSA that's being built and maintained. And so that's, you know, kind of where we see the money spending now. And to go through the whole thing, you're right, we'd have to read the whole table.
and I encourage people to go to federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon and find a link to where you can read more of this report. You included a fact, Sean, that I thought was a very good piece of contextual information because we think about IT in this vacuum sometimes. You're right, DHS spends much more money on guards, over $1 billion, than it does on most IT solutions. It kind of puts it all in perspective a little bit.
Yes, because I think people think of, you know, especially with the fusion centers, all of the information that is gathered, that's you know, oh wow, that's where all the money's going. It's not. It still goes into the people, it goes into the day-to-day management, and it goes into, you know, somebody standing there and keeping us safe. So, you know, you can't minimize that.
Terrific insight, Sean. I commend this to folks who want to know more about DHS and how it works and what they spend their money on, and I thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thank you, Francis. It was interesting.